Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
Welcome to Eva Fenrich, and who is a somatic coach with a focus on stress management, dealing with trauma, and developing potentials. And to Mark Herser, who's an expert body psychotherapist for severely traumatized babies, such interesting work, children and teens. He's a somatic and experiencing practitioner, a dancer and an engineer. In this workshop, they will be exploring the nervous system and to look at how we can learn from children to go through life in a rhythm that suits us and to jump on the roller coaster of life at the right place and have fun doing so. So without further ado, I'd like to hand you over to Eva and to Mark. Welcome, guys. Please warmly welcome.
Thank you, Thea. So let's start. I think Mark wants to start the presentation, so I'm sharing the screen.
Yeah. Let me see, Zoom again, that's that thing that I'm not sharp. So let me try to get that right. Okay. So, we are both working with somatic experiencing as our main tool. It's a trauma therapy method that has been developed by Peter Levine, and its symbol worldwide is a tiger. And it's very fitting for today's topic as well. Get your life in motion, in your rhythm, because in animals you can watch how they naturally progress from one state to the other effortlessly. A key observation of that somatic experiencing method is that we always look at the current level of stress, because when we're not stressed, we're much more able to learn to change. It does put a particular emphasis on perceiving your body's sensation and its expressions. This is because too much stress shows up in your body. As Van der Kolk, one of the leading researchers in that field, puts it, the body keeps the score. And the body also talks to us, as Peter Bean says it, in an unspoken voice, meaning it talks, but you have to learn to listen to it. Fortunately, the body is also the best route to healing if and when you're willing to listen to it. So let's progress to the next slide. Life frequently is a roller coaster, isn't it? And that can be fun or scary. What we'd like to introduce you to is to the fun part, knowing how to get on, how to get off, how to prepare, and how to adapt it to your own rhythm. so that you can have fun riding the roller coaster of life.
So to get a little bit of experience with this roller coaster, or just generally with what your nervous system does, why not start with a little story first? And I'm asking you to just tune into your body and listen. So imagine as you will, you're sitting in your garden or in a quiet park, reading a book, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, you hear some footsteps walking towards you. And listen into your body and notice what happens. And then you turn around, looking what's going on there. And you see that it's your friend coming towards you, waving at you, smiling at you, coming towards you to have a good time together. And notice what's going on in your body right now, as you found out that it's just your friend, or that it is your friend coming. And maybe you want to share in the chat with everyone what you noticed in these two situations, how it was for you. And with that, I think we can go on to exploring a little bit about the nervous system.
That level of stress that I have been talking about, that somatic experiencing so acutely observes, when we follow that, there's different levels of that, that it's highly useful to know them. The stress scale goes from regeneration, rest, protection in a group, social interaction, can go to fight, play fight, real fight, can even go to flight if it's too dangerous. And if it's even worse, we have kind of a fuse.
So I think that what happened right now is that Mark, with looking at freeze, just got frozen on the network connection, quite fittingly. So I think the internet connection has a bit of an activation problem right now, going into playing dead. Depending on what's going on for you, you might be in like a restful state, and when something comes up, like the noise is coming up, you might get a little bit.
Okay. Sorry for that interruption, Zoom. Just decided to quit. So I was telling you about the fuse that we have if the stress level goes over the top. Then things like these happen. Actually, this is what happens to people when they dissociate. They completely go off. And this is more frequent than many people know. Anyway, coming back to our children. Children when playing frequently go through all these stages. They playfully fight. They hide and keep completely quiet. They play catch.
Hi, everyone. We seem to be having some connection problems. So again, thank you for your interactions in the chat. So maybe we can all take a moment while we wait. Mark, are you back with us?
I do hope that I'm back.
Yeah, you're back in the room.
Well, sorry, Zoom quit again. So I hope you got that children frequently go through all these levels when they play. Different games, social interaction games, play fights, hide and seek, whatever. They play and they have great fun with it, and automatically children or adolescents ask for breaks when they're hungry, when they're tired, and that helps with integration. Grown-ups, many things that are not always fun. And when doing that, like even when they attending a conference, which basically is enjoyable, they frequently forget caring for their body. We might stick to the idea of keep going, instead of paying attention to our needs. It helps to build in stress management tools, like going for a short walk, playful fights, perceiving your body and its needs. We'd like to invite you to do exactly that, and we'll show you two key points to keep that natural sequence rolling and going. So it's Eva's turn.
So as you've already mentioned, kids are pretty good at moving through life. And so we want to share a model by Ale Duarte, which is that very often, like through the day, we're like in a rest state, maybe sitting around doing nothing, or maybe, and then something comes up, some idea comes up, or maybe like we demonstrated in a little exercise, you hear a noise or you have someone coming towards you and you get into something that gets you ready for action. And then if you're ready enough, you move into action. Moving into action and interaction, moving, like interacting with others, interacting with your environment. And if things go well, then you move into some kind of integration and resting again. So to demonstrate this, we have a few little cuddly animals. And I think Mark might want to demonstrate it on the little animals, what's happening.
Exactly. And also you see that we've depicted those five faces as a circle, because what happens naturally throughout the day is that we go through these five stages again and again. It can be in minutes, it can be in hours. So, lower left, you see a tiger enjoying his rest. Playful, like our small cats, they're wonderful in resting. You know that from any of the big cats, they can rest for hours at a time. And then suddenly something catches their attention. A little noise, a smell, whatever. And they get ready, scanning the environment, fixing something, looking at things and acutely aware of their environment. And then suddenly they jump into action, as exemplified by a tiger catching prey. And then, when they actually caught something, frequently they will share that with others, especially when they have cubs, for example. And then there is social interaction. And when they have eaten, sometimes they play. And that's quite natural, the integration of what just has happened. And then they return to rest when they're satisfied, when they have eaten enough and not hungry anymore. And then they get drooling, they yawn and sleep. We can observe the very same with children, as Eva will tell you.
So when you look at children, you can probably see the signs of these faces better than you might be seeing it in yourself or other adults. But it's important to look at this both in yourself and in others to find a good balance and find a good rhythm within yourself, but also when you're interacting with others. There is points in this cycle when someone is ready for action or they're actually in the action interaction phase where you can actually get in and be with them. While if you're trying to push someone out of a resting phase or if you get into the way of integration, you might not get through to a child, a friend, a partner, a colleague. And also, if you stay in one of the phases too long, you might not be doing yourself any good. So what you can see from the pictures, children are quite good at resting. They can pretty much sleep and rest anywhere they are. And then maybe something catches their attention. They might be looking. Is there others that I can play with? Is there something interesting? And when they get enough energy for something, they pretty much directly jump into action and do things. And then if there's others or if there's interesting things in their environment, they interact with each other or with something like the pillows. They do things. And then at some point, they come to a natural integration. They might talk to others about they might talk to others about what they experienced, the kids, in order to integrate. They might also maybe have a sip of water. They might be doing all kinds of things that help them integrate what they just experienced. And I'm just going to share the screen yet again. Hopefully this time it stays on.
Eva, could I just check a question in the panel? Sorry to interrupt you. Chris is asking, is it mammals or all animals that go through this cycle?
I would say it's mainly mammals because like the...
I think we'll go with mainly mammals and carry on. Thanks, Eva.
Whatever's happening here, I would say it's mammals. Yeah, because other animals don't have the brain structures for this. So the social engagement system, as you probably some of you know from Stephen Porges, is something that only the mammals have. So other animals are not able to do this.
Thanks so much.
I'm just gonna reshare again and hope it works. Let's just stay curious and wait what happens. Okay, we're back with the children. And what we're planning to do now is look a little closer at two faces, and I'm handing back over to Mark.
Yes, mind you again that these faces naturally go through that sequence, that very sequence, again and again throughout our day. Whenever you do an activity, there should be a moment of rest before that. And then you get aware that there's a next activity to be done. Then you do that, maybe interact with others, and then you close that activity before going to through frequently just a short period of rest. So it's a cycle that goes around and around all day long. Sometimes a cycle can take a few minutes, sometimes it can take a few hours, but this cycle we all do, whether we're aware of it or not. Based on observations, even when you look at children or even grown-ups, there's two key transitions that sometimes people have difficulties with, which interrupts that natural cycle. That natural cycle, if you go through that with ease, is the way our body deals with all that comes up and all that we need to do and all that happens to us. We can digest that naturally. We're equipped to deal with basically anything that happens to us. Frequently nowadays, people do get stressed. They say, I'm stressed. And frequently the reason for that is that this cycle doesn't run easily or with ease. And the two points that we would like to draw your attention to is one, the transition from readiness to action, and two, from action interaction to the integration. These are two points where frequently people have difficulties. You can easily see that with hyperactive children, for example, who cannot find to the integration, or children who don't get interaction. And we would like you to experience that with two exercises in just a minute. The advantage of easily going through those two transitions is that you basically can get on and off the roller coaster at the right moment with ease in your time, in your rhythm. So, I would like to have Eva present the first exercise for one of those two transitions.
So what I would like to invite you to do, because this is an embodiment conference and not a sit around and do nothing conference, I would like to invite you to join me to later go into some movement. And what I like you to do is pay attention to your body and really notice what's going on. And because we are going to do some movement, We need to be well prepared. It's going to be a really difficult dance type steppy thing. Or maybe we also do something that you find exciting. Maybe you can do the movements that you love to do. Or maybe it's something that's a little difficult for you. And notice what's going on in your body as you're preparing to just get ready to jump into that movement. Notice if you can find any excitement in your body. Where do you notice that? And we're just going to wait for another moment before we really go into your movement, your fun. And if you're anything like me, by now you might really want to get up and move a little bit. So whatever you want to do, stretch out, shake out, move, do whatever you like. Get into action. And then when you've moved a little bit and you feel like it's enough for this moment, come back and notice how this was for you. And maybe some of you found this a little hard, because what we've been doing right now is really staying in the readiness phase, staying in that preparation that you're just about to do something. And for a lot of people, I don't know how it was for you, and you're welcome to share this in the chat. For some people, it's really hard to be in that readiness to start to go. And they rather want to jump straight into action. Or for some people, it's like, oh my God, you really want to make me move? Shall I get up? Thank God we're not doing this yet. So whichever way was right for you, just maybe you want to put something in the chat or just notice for yourself. Someone sharing that it was hard for them to get up at the time that I said they had to. It took the right moment for them. Yes. So it's really about like finding the right moment for you. Yeah. And someone's sharing, Jan is sharing, already got impatient with the waiting. Yeah. And yeah, we'll come to the questions later on. Yeah, so, but maybe I can just answer this quickly. Yes, this model is valid for both something that's happening like during the day or within a day, but it's also valid for bigger things that we might be like getting impatient to get things going, or that we might not get going. So, someone got excited when I said that it might be fun, and challenged when I said it might be difficult. So that's kind of the things that come up in this readiness phase. And depending on your previous experience, it might be like, oh my God, I want to do this, yay. Or it might be, maybe I shouldn't be starting this. Okay, so with this, you might want to jump in and do the second little exercise. And for this, I want to hand over back to Mark.
Okay, welcome back. Zoom decides that I'm pixelated again. Let me try to solve that.
Should be working.
Okay. not on my end, but then again. Okay. So for the second exercise, I would like you to move. If you have music at home, we can't play music here, but if you have, put on some music, stand up, move wildly as you like, have fun, move whatever you feel like, whatever impulse comes to your mind, whatever thought or image, move. You can dance, you can just walk, you can shake yourself, you can move whatever parts of your body, and yes, get active. Do something, dance, put on wild music if you have, quiet music, it can be very slow movements, whatever your preference is. Anything goes. The only key point is that you keep moving. And maybe do the movements a little bigger, a little smaller, whatever you care. Shake, move your body, move your arms, move your feet, sit, roll, whatever you fancy, whatever comes to your mind, whatever feeling there is, whatever emotion, whatever picture, whatever image, whatever thought, just express that with your body. Anything goes. Just move your body and move it, whatever your body feels like, or whatever you fancy, whatever you've learned. And then over time, slowly, slowly, in your own time, make the movements a little smaller and smaller, more subtle, until over time you get to a standstill. It can be sitting or lying or standing, whatever you prefer. And take a seat again so you can see. And then come to a standstill. Maybe you feel some movement still, like an afterglow of what you just did. And sense how that past movement maybe still moves within your body. Focus on your sensations that you have in your body after this movement. You see, this phase, this is what's called integration. You're not sleeping. You may still sense that kind of movement, and it does something in your body. Sometimes thoughts keep coming up, sometimes feelings keep coming up, sometimes just a calm rest, a feeling of calm rest that comes to your mind, but it's integration of what you just did in the past cycle. We've gone from readiness or action, now interaction or movement, interaction with your environment, maybe with a friend, maybe with the music, and then now to the integration. But that kind of wrapping up, of summarizing, of digesting of what you just did. And this is the second point that sometimes is lacking. Meaning, if you're always, like if your motor, your body is always running on high speed, it overheats. And that's exactly what happens with us as human beings. We cannot go full blast all the time. We need rest in between. And finding that kind of that stage of integration is key to exit that wheel of work that we sometimes in. And children, for example, they frequently do that they hug each other, that they read something together, that they interact socially with someone else, but not in creating something new, but rather sharing the past experience. And that also works very well for grown-ups. There was a question in the chat whether there's any difference between grown-ups and children. And our bodies are the same, where grown-ups frequently differ is that they don't allow their body's needs to be expressed or to be taken care of. That is the difference. But our bodies function just the same. So sorry.
Let's just come back to demonstrating this on the slides yet again. So after the experience that we just had, this is the phase we've been working on in the first exercise, looking at getting ready, getting into action, and how that feels to be in a readiness for something. And then the second exercise or little experience, what we looked into was going from action or interaction back into integration. And one of the things that I find really interesting for some of us is that, for example, some people, children or grown-ups, that find it super hard to be in this readiness. And maybe some of you experienced just that you found it hard to stay in readiness, to prepare for something. Some people who can't stand this might actually want to stay in action and interaction and really jump this phase, not be there. Go be in action, 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 action. So that you don't need to go into that cycle of integrating what's happened and rest and get back into readiness. Or some people who find it hard to get enough energy going might also stay in this action, interaction, action, interaction, because if they once jump out of this, they find it hard to come back on the train and really get going. So whichever thing is difficult or easy for you, or for the people that you might be working with, maybe some of you are working with children or have children of your own, or maybe you work with adults or interact with other adults, and you notice that someone has difficulties in these things, and maybe you can support them or yourself in experiencing that. Being ready just that tiny little bit longer and then going into action. Or if you get the time.
Sorry, because we have a question on exactly this.
Yes, okay. That's perfect.
Asked, is there a way of getting ready for action to overcome procrastination? So if you're stuck in waiting for action, is there something you can recommend to help get people into that action stage?
So generally, I would say sometimes it's good to also work with yourself to be able to really easily go into integration if you find it hard to get into action, because it might be that if you find it hard to rest and come down, something in you says, better not get going because I will be running, 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 running. Or finding things that support you. And that's very individual, what helps each one of us to really stick to that plan to do something. And sometimes procrastination is actually not getting the energy up here, but procrastination is very often instead of getting ready for the action that you want to do, you get ready for getting another cup of coffee. You get ready for going for a walk. You get ready to phone your friend. So I think with procrastination and patterns like that, it's really observing what's going on in my body when I do that. Like with everything else, if you can notice what's going on here, and also if you can notice in your body how it feels here, you might get some hints how to overcome this or how you can support yourself to get ready. And it might feel a little uncomfortable or even more than a little uncomfortable. That's why maybe you don't want to stay there or get there. But I think if you bring some curiosity to that and observe what's going on, that might be useful. Any other comments or questions on this, or shall we move on a little?
Just one more from Annika on how to enter the door into integration, because I stay in the action phase until my body collapses.
Ah, that's an interesting one. That's a very typical one that people who find it hard to integrate actually kind of jump the integration phase and go straight into like a collapse type of rest. So maybe one of the things that are useful, like we were doing in the exercise that Mark was leading, is slowly going out of action, taking your time to like make things smaller or do smaller actions to go into like a more integrative state. Or sometimes it can be a matter of actually grabbing a drink, sitting down, making yourself a cup of tea. Because, for example, when you watch children, one of the ways they integrate might be to take a sip of water or to just whatever, talk to someone or lean on to someone. Or it might be like cuddling an animal. So all the kinds of things that are not too big interactive, but bringing you more to yourself and how you feel, that can help to go into integration. Any comments from Mark on that?
Yeah, the very shortest thing you can do is probably just take a deep breath.
Yeah. So
once in a while.
Yeah. I'm just gonna stop.
If you truly have difficulty in slowing down, or you know, if you're always on the run, then try at least some variations of it. As you just said, slower, another route, making the movement a little smaller, changing the pace, so that you get a feeling for the differences, that it's not always the same.
I think another way to look at it is also to observe if you can find moments where it's good for you to go into rest and integration. So it's a matter of staying present in the action and interaction, because quite often we don't spot the points that are like the exit route. So if you keep going and you overrun that moment, you get what might happen like at a children's birthday party, where children don't go so easily into like the integration phase. You get the action, 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 and all of a sudden either they collapse or they get really angry, because they missed out the opportunity to come down. And that's where with children, if things get too exciting, and maybe also with adults, sometimes we need to take ourselves or the children by the hand and say, like, come on, this is a good moment to maybe take that rest and see if I can come down. So I think it's also a matter of observation.
Such a great metaphor, Ava, thinking of the children's birthday party. Can I just, is this a good time to ask a few more questions, or do you have content you still want to?
Yeah, I think this is a good point where we great. Could go into some questions.
People are very engaged in this. So from Bernie, how do you notice this changes with autistic children or those with ADHD? And a number of people have liked that question as well.
Well, Mark.
Go on. Go on.
I think with ADHD and probably also with some of the autism spectrum kids, very often they either might be like very much in action, interaction, action, interaction, and they might find it super hard to get into some integration and rest. And very often, actually, if you look a little more closely, but that's like an individual thing, they might find it hard to be in readiness. It might look like they have a hard time to go out of the cycle, but actually they have a hard time to be in this being ready thing. So they override that feeling of getting ready and run, 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 run. And similarly, I would say like with kids that might have like some sensory issues or just generally are a little sensitive, they might either not want to engage in things because they find it hard to be in all of this activation, or similarly, they might get very quickly into like readiness and go. Any comments from Mark? I think you wanted to say something on that.
Yeah, you described it perfectly. I think the only thing that I would like to add is that especially ADHD and also autism spectrum children or grown-ups for that matter, the key thing to notice there is that those people are, through their experiences, through hereditary traits, whatever, they are much more sensitive. Meaning you have to find exactly the right point. You have to dose your interventions or your ideas very carefully so you don't overwhelm them. It's very easy to overwhelm these children.
Great, thanks both of you. And so Annika asked, so basically our bodies know best what is needed at any given moment in terms of those cycles.
Yeah, I would say so. If we really listen to what's going on in ourselves and observe what's going on in the people around you, may it be little people or may it be grown-ups, we can actually spot those cycles pretty easily. So it's a matter of tuning into that.
Becoming attuned to it, knowing the cycles there so you can listen a bit better for those transition possibilities, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
So I would say that's probably one of the reasons why Ale Duarte, for example, calls his work Tune Into Children. So really tuning into all of these little state shifts is like what's
tune
necessary.
Into children was the title, yeah?
Yeah.
Tune into children.
And also I would like to add that knowing these cycles and observing other people gives you the instrument to jump in at the right moment. Because if you know, you cannot meditate to cool down a child that's wild running. It just doesn't work. You have to meet children and for that matter, grown-ups as well, where they are. And then you can softly influence and, you know, invite to other stages. You can't force them or like offer the opposite. That doesn't work. You have to know where they are and meet them there. It's the only point where you can meet people is where they are.
Great observation. Veronica has been waiting patiently from the beginning. What was the researcher mentioned in the very beginning?
Was it Bessel van der Kolk? Or was it Stephen Porges? I'm not sure.
Okay. I mentioned Bessel van der Kolk.
Yeah.
With this book that has the title, The Body Keeps the Score. Maybe it can explain something there. I mean, many of our memories, we don't have images for, we don't even have scenes for. Just take the period from zero or, you know, before birth until the age of about two. We don't remember any stories there. They're gone even when children are five. But our body still remembers all those experiences. That's what he means with it.
Great. And Laura has quite an important question. How is the sequence affected by being in chronic pain, please?
I think what might happen with like any kinds of conditions or pain or anything is the cycle as such might not be influenced, because that's kind of what happens naturally. But it might be like if any action is painful, it might be that the actions that we're willing to do are smaller, and therefore getting ready to do something that might be painful is hard. Or similarly, if for someone a resting state or integration might feel uncomfortable, we might stay in the action and interaction as to not feel what's happening in the integration. So sometimes these things are strategies of managing states, either if they feel uncomfortable or painful, either physically or emotionally. And that might be because of like a health condition. It might be, as Mark was mentioning when we were talking about the Bessel van der Kolk research, it might be our previous experiences that might keep us from actually wanting to go into one of these phases or really wanting to go through a whole cycle.
Great, thank you so much. The recording of this will be posted very shortly after this session. So maybe Annika, you can check at the beginning if it, just to make sure that answered your query. And finally, I think from Al, what if moving doesn't feel safe? Again, that came quite early in the presentation.
I should say, if moving doesn't feel safe, then quite likely you're in a situation where you have no freedom to move. If that's the case, get help, find a better situation, get out of that. And the same thing is, even if you're very confined, if you have not a lot of room to move, there's still the possibility of small movements. There's even the possibility of movements imagined.
It's great. And it feels like that's been quite a consistent theme of moving yourself between states as well, is to go for those small movements. If that's not your habit or you get stuck in one, to go for the little pulses. Yeah. And start acting on those to build the muscles, I guess, build your awareness. Thank you both so much for coping so brilliantly with your technical issues and the slight interruptions. You've been awesome, I have to say. And thank you everybody for staying with us for this really interesting presentation. I will come back to you shortly to wrap up and with your final top tips, but I do need to just make a few announcements to begin with. I'm posting a number of links in the chat to support you. Please keep the conversation going with our Facebook groups. There've been some great conversations in the Facebook groups. There's the one for this channel and the general conference one with the link up there. And also the coffee breaks. It's a great way to a small Zoom meeting where you can meet other people. If you go, if you try one and there's nobody there, do just come back later. Sometimes they're a bit less busy than other times, but I've had some really lovely conversations in those and it's nice to be face to face. Obviously this session and all of them are available free for you for 48 hours. It's a great resource and it's a very overwhelming opportunity as well. If you have the opportunity, I do suggest you upgrade to own the whole library. You'll have learning, there are study hints and summaries, and you can also have an audio only versions so that you can do the washing up and have a listen to some great presentations. And it helps us to put this on for free, and it feels like a great reward for us as well when you buy this resource to have for life. Coming up, we have on the keynote stage next for everybody, Body Mind Centering with Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen, a really great speaker. And not to miss, after that at 2 o'clock on this channel, Humanual Self-Regulation to help settle your nervous system with the awesome Betsy Palantin. So two really great presentations coming up straight after this. Do try and make it along to those. Thank you for joining us again. It's been a real pleasure to be with you all. And let me hand back to Eva and to Mark for your final top embodiment tips, if you would.
So, Mark?
Shall I start? Okay. It's something that will help you find or listen to your body. And I can give you full instructions for that in just 4 sentences. The first one is take a deep breath. Sit and do nothing. Let your attention wander wherever it likes. That's all it needs.
Great. I've posted those instructions so everybody can copy and paste them and keep them forever.
My top tip would be to pay attention to what's going on around you, to bring your curiosity to everything you do, no matter what kind of activity you do in your daily life, or if it's an embodiment practice, bring your curiosity and all parts of you with you. Bring your brain and your body, your thinking, your feeling, bring everything with you and stay open to what might be possible.
Thank you both so much. Great tips, both of them. I love them. It's been so interesting. I loved learning about that cycle. It's really useful. It feels like a very useful resource as a coach as well, potentially. So thank you both for sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us today. It's been really great. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I will close the presentation now. It does come to a very sudden end. So thank you again, Eva and Mark. Take care.
Thank you.